Web API, know it, learn it, love it. Why? Quite simply, in a word, simplicity. Web API just makes it easy to create HTTP services, and that's what it's about. I'm Grant Archibald, I'm a senior consultant at Theta, and I first saw Web API back in the MVP Summit up at Redmond in February this year. And when I saw it, I thought, this is just an easier way to do it. I've done WCF services before, Windows Communication Foundation services, and I just found this an easier way to create applications that just span all the way from mobile devices, desktop, and browser. And that's what we're going to go through in this session. The first one I want to look at is content is king. The thing I want to say is the applications that we create are really important. The application, the content of the application that you create and you create for your clients is the most important thing. And you want to get that content out as easily as possible to a whole range of devices, whether or not that's a JavaScript client, a Metro application, can't call it a Windows Store application now, or you want to go to a desktop application. I've used it across all these environments and I found it really, really easy to use. But what's the common factor across all of these? It's HTTP. It's the thing that binds all those environments together across that whole range of devices. And that's what Web API is designed to work across. Plain old HTTP, without any extra cruft around it. Web API designed to make it easy. So what is Web API? I'll give you a few seconds to go through and just say this is a brief summary of one definition of what Web API is. So what are the kind of clients we're talking about? We're talking about JavaScript clients, might be single page applications. You might be talking about applications written in C# using XAML. Or you might be talking even just a service coming from other languages, might be Ruby or Python. The simple thing though, HTTP works across all those environments. So what's our roadmap today? What I want to do is I want to give you a good introduction of what a Web API service is. What can it do for you? I want to show that from a consuming side. I want to show you interacting with a service that's already been created and showing you how you can get data out, update and delete it. And then I want to do is take that apart. I want to go through and show you how to step by step how to go create a Web API service and some of the issues that you may hit along the path in terms of adding security and the information you may want to expose out by a Web API. So let's start off by knowing it. What Web API is designed around is the four HTTP verbs, or what HTTP is. So there's a GET, which is pretty much you want to go select some existing data or get an existing record. You want to do a POST, which is the same thing as going and creating a record. You want to do a PUT, which is the same thing as going and updating an existing resource that already exists. Well, finally, you want to delete. You want to delete a resource that already exists. Normally, out of the box, what you're going to get is two formats that come with Web API. XML or JSON, JavaScript Object Notation. And those two things give you a wide range of clients that can consume that. On top of that, you can optionally add other formats that make sense for your application, and we'll drill into that, showing you how you can change how what information you want to accept. And lastly, it has URLs that you as a human can understand, and as a computer can understand. I think it's important when you're thinking about Web API applications to think about you own those that URL. It's going to be around for a long time, and you want it to make sense. You don't want to be tied to a technology. And Web API can make that easier for you, and can make it easier to navigate between different resources that already exist. So the question that may come to your mind is, we had SOAP and WSDL for so long. Why wouldn't you want to go use SOAP and WSDL when Web API comes along? It comes back to that simple thing, simplicity. It just uses HTTP. It's the way that the web works. It works being cacheable. It works across a whole range of devices. It can be redirected. Those things aren't intrinsically built into it. And HTTP is really simple. If you want to secure it, you could look at adding HTTPS. You don't necessarily need to add all the extra stuff that SOAP had on top of it. to get information easily across a whole range of devices. And the last thing, has anyone ever tried to do a SOAP service to JavaScript? Not too many hands probably go up, because it's pretty damn hard. Whereas JavaScript brings on that theme of being simple. So let's start it, let's know it. So we've got a client, it can be any range of clients, and it's going to go talk to a host. Now, one of the things we're going to have with Web API that's different is it can talk to a range of hosts. You could start off with a web server, IIS. Or you might want to go host it inside an application. That first application where I was spinning up messages at the start was Web API hosted inside a Windows Form application. And I was talking to it using Web API and updating the messages. So it's another way. You don't have to constrain yourself to thinking you host it inside just ASP.NET. You can put it inside an application and leverage the same resources inside and outside IIS. And the last one, you can add some unit tests also on top of it. What happens when you get a request? We turn up into a controller. And the controller is going to be the heart of it. It's going to be similar to what, if anyone's done an MVC project for creating a controller, that's going to be where our action, our resource is going to exist. It might be a supplier, a customer. And under that controller, we've got some handlers. What handlers do is they allow us to trap every request coming in and out. So for example, what we could do with that is we want to do authentication. We might want to say every request coming in and out needs to be authenticated. If it's not, send it back. On top of that, we may have filters where we may want to apply an action on a particular controller or a particular action. Between those, the handlers and the controllers, it gives us a whole lot of flexibility to extend the system to do what you want on top of the base functionality. So let's get in. Let's have a look at what Web API is. I'm going to minimize PowerPoint here. I'm going to start up a application. Can everyone see the font there? Is that okay? Can everyone see right at the back where the font's okay for you? Excellent. Okay. So what this is Web API. I've created an Explorer in WPF. One of the things being a back-end technology, it's pretty hard to actually visualize what's going on. So what I've created is this application that's going to guide us through the process of understanding how we get information, how we post information, how we update it, and we delete it. So I've got an existing service here that I've created, and I'm going to take out the members. I'm going to go go. So the first thing it gives us back is a bit of XML on the right-hand side, and that's some meta information about the service. It tells us some information about what the service exposes. So this one here has a collection of members that belong to a site. So for the URL here, I can go into the query, I can go to the members, and go go. On the right-hand side now, it's gone to the server and retrieved a list of members in JSON format, JavaScript Object Notation. And this is where we come back to what do you want to accept. We want to change that to XML. So we're going to change accept it to be application XML, and we're going to go go. It gets the same content that we just had for the list of members and now shows it to us as XML using the two built-in formatters, the built-in to Web API. So next thing we can do is I can add on one. I'm going to go grab the first member that has a member ID of one and do a get on that. Go, go. I'm going to turn that back into JSON because it's slightly easy to see. So that's the first member in the database. So the next thing we may want to do is we may want to create a new member. So I'm just going to take off that first ID and I'm going to call it Tony Alexander. I'm going to change it to be a put message rather than a get message. So I'm going to want to insert this and I'm going to go go. So what it's come back with now is said, okay, I created that for you. Give the status code of created, and it's got a new member ID, a member ID of 9. So if I go get, change that from 1 to a 9, and go get, I change it back to a get instead of a post and create an extra two members for you there. So there's two Tony Alexanders. Okay, so that's, we want to go to 10 then. Okay, we don't want member number 10 anymore. It was a mistake. I'm going to go change that to a delete verb. And I'm going to go. So it's going to come back and it's going to do what you'd expect on the web. It's going to come back with an unauthorized. I'm not allowed to just go delete willy-nilly a particular member. I want to have that with some security. So I'm going to come along, add on some basic authentication. I'm going to put in a username and a password. I'm going to come back to the first page, and I'm going to submit my delete request. And now it says 200, okay. I just went and gone and deleted that record for you. And I'll give you back, this is what the record looked like before I deleted it, so that you can keep a copy of that. If I come back and I change this now, the action back to get, and go, it comes back with a standard 404 page. It doesn't exist anymore. So that resource, member 10, just doesn't exist in our database anymore. So that gives you a basic idea of what we can do inside Web API. We can get it, we can update it, delete it, and insert records, very simply just using the basic fundamentals of HTTP. But what we can do on top of it with OData, with a query called OData, we can start doing question mark. And it starts giving us a whole bunch more functionality that we can do with this member. We might want to say, I want to go grab the top three members in my database and go, okay. Or I might want to say, I want to go grab, filter all the records that start with a last name of AL. And go. That returns three records that match that. The nice thing about this kind of syntax is it allows you as the user of the URL to request what's the information you want. And as we see as we get into the code later on, we haven't had to do any code on the back end to actually make this query work. It goes and parses that URL, looks for the filter, or starts with, and it goes and turns that into a light query inside SQL Server. So later on, I'll look at releasing this on GitHub just to show how you can make this go. I found this a tool really useful to really start understanding what Web API is without having to worry about extra frameworks on top of it. Is that pretty clear about what that process is? So all we've done so far is we've gone to a website, we've done get, update, delete, post, and there's some extra methods that we can add on top of that that allows us to search for data in a pretty rich kind of way. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump back to the slide deck now. I'll close that off. But before we do that, I'm going to open up a JavaScript example. I'm going to do the same thing there I was doing inside a WPF application. I'm going to do this in a JavaScript application. So I'm going to go search on this. And it's going to return those same list of people coming out of the database. I can go delete them. It asks for authentication. And because it's a browser, I can just go put a password, username, password, login, and it's just using basic authentication built into the browser. I can say I want to go search, and I want to search for all the ones start with L, and I get those usernames. So we're getting the same functionality working either way. So what I'll do is I'm going to jump back into PowerPoint and just carry on from there. So what does that look like from a C# point of view? What is the amount of code that you need to write to make that happen? The first thing you've got is a new class called HTTP Client. It's a client that can work across multiple platforms. There's implementations for server side on mobile devices. And at the top you go default request headers. And that's where we put in the type of data that we want back. In the examples I showed before, we had like application JSON, or we had application XML. And there's four methods it adds, which are very similar to the four things I had on the screen, the get, the post, the put, and delete. And at the end of that, you can use a JSON converter that will turn that back into a .NET object for you again. On the JavaScript side, there is some members there which you can do, get a URL, you can get the content type, you can say it's JSON, and it will give you back an array of members that you can look through. And in my example there, I took each one of those and I added them to a list. Cool. Is there any questions before we can move on there? Anyone would like a Morrow or a Crunchy? Any thoughts? Yes. You would like a Morrow or a Country. You've got to earn the Morrow or the Country. There's got to be a question there. That was a statement, sir. Is there any questions? No. No, there's no questions. Yes, over here. Yes. So the question is, can you add other commands apart from get, put, delete? Yes, you could. But again, does it actually make sense, and we'll browse other ones. There are other ones like patch and options, so there are other spec ones there, but it's really based on what the HTTP spec is. It's a matter of, would it actually make sense to add other type of actions? So normally try to fit them into the actions that are already there. Nice try, though, for the Morrow. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to go into learning it. Let's start it. But before we do that, let's take a trip down memory lane. How did we get here? And why is Web API going to make a better solution? If you look at 2006, once upon a time, there was ASP.NET was released. And it became ASP.NET Web Forms. It was really good at creating event-driven sites. It wasn't really so good about creating HTTP services. There's a thing called a web method that allowed you to get XML data back and forward. But given the rise in JavaScript, it's really not, it's a legacy technology. So moving along from there, where do we go to next? In 2009, ASP.NET MVC came along and had a model view controller pattern. It got rid of a whole lot of the old framework that used to be there for web forms and made it simpler to create data going back and forth. You can control the format. It's good, but it's a bit of overkill possibly for creating HTTP services. Hence, Microsoft's come again and they're creating Web API. What it is, it's a new sub-project type of ASP.NET MVC4. So you can either, it's built into Visual Studio 2012, or if you've got Visual Studio 2010, you can download that and add it to a Visual Studio 2010 solution. The big one that's highlighted there is content negotiation. And that's what I talked about at the start, about being able to accept the information. So I had application XML, and I can go application JSON. The other types of formats I've tried, for example, I'm going to go application PDF. Anyone get an idea of what you might do if it goes application PDF? What I've done before, on the server side, it can take the HTML, render it, turn it into a PDF, and return the PDF to you. So, or you go application type Word. It can take that same data and put it into a Word document. There are other types of examples of what content negotiation does. It allows you as the client to say, this is the format that I wanted, and the server can look through the different formats that it supports and return the best one that it can deliver to you. The next one is it goes into those JSON ones. And you can make that as rich as you can and make sense for your project. So where do we start? We go File, New Project, Web, and we choose MVC Project. After that, we pick the sub-project of MVC4 and Web API. And there's going to be two things that it's going to create for you. It's going to create a configuration, which is going to set up the routing. Now, hands up, how many people here have used MVC applications before? Okay, so we've got about at least half of you here. Okay, for those people that have done that, the routing inside ASP.NET, inside Web API, is very similar. The only twist on it, it's based on the actions, the get, put, delete verbs. The other part that it produces is a controller. And those controllers are married around, surprisingly enough, the verbs that you're going to send it. The get, put, delete. The other one that's got a new base class there. It's a difference. If you're doing an MVC project, you wouldn't hear it from a thing called controller. This time you've got a thing called API controller. What's the difference? This API controller doesn't depend on system.web. And the big thing that it enables it to do is it enables it to work inside IIS, self-hosted, or in a unit test. So the name of that controller actually makes a large difference in terms of its dependencies and gives you a greater versatility of where you can put your web API projects. Okay, what I'm going to do before we jump into actually creating that, I'm going to add three more packages. The first two are pre-release ones from Microsoft, but they add extra value. The first one is some help pages. What help pages enable you to do is you as a human or a developer to go through and list out what are all the services that you provide, give examples of how to get the data in and out. The second one is OData. OData is that rich functionality I demonstrated at the start. We can go dollar top one, skip the first five, or pick the start with a member name with the last name starts with L. The last one is ThinkTeacher Identity Model. What that enables us to do is add security on top of Web API so that we can do basic authentication, and you can extend it on to go add token-based authentication. So you could take OAuth or other subscriptions and integrate that into your security model. The slide deck will be available later also, so if you want to go through and get these links, we can get them as part of the slides later on. But I'd encourage you to have a look through those links because they go into some more depth around what the help is, how OData works, and how you use some security inside Web API. Question you may have before we get in, how does it apply to me right now? Most of you probably have got Visual Studio 2010. The thing I would say is go to the ASP.NET website, go to MVC4, and download the new packages. If you've got 2012, it's there in the box. What's the major difference between the two? If you've got it inside 2010, you're going to be targeting .NET 4.0, which means you're going to miss the async and await keywords and features like that that you have inside .NET 4.5, which will make it easier to interact with asynchronous services. Okay, let's get into it. Let's learn how to go create one of these. So I'm going to open up Visual Studio, and I'm going to create a new Visual Studio, open up a new instance of Visual Studio. While it's loading, is there any particular, anyone feel worthy of grabbing themselves a Morrow or anything yet? Any questions that are burning in your mind before I jump into it? Out of the box, you've got the authorized things, and you've got to add on your own one. Basically, a security is a kind of add-on, so you've got to go add it yourself. That's why I'm suggesting the identity model, ThinkTeacher Identity Model. It's created by an MVP security expert that has been advising the ASP.NET team, and not only does it target MVC, it also, Web API, it targets WCF applications and MVC applications. So it's a good security model on top of it. So that's why I'm suggesting that it's a good one to start and look at. So good question. Excellent. Okay, file, new project. And I'm going to create an MVC application. I'm going to call it Tech Demo 11. And I'm going to pick Web API. So what's going to go create a project? So what it's going to go do now, it's going to go internally, it's got a list of NuGet packages that's going to include automatically inside the application. How many people here use NuGet and know what NuGet is? Okay, so I'd say the majority, 80%. So what it's got is a NuGet feed for Web API. The reason why the team's done it this way is it allows them to update Web API outside Visual Studio 2010 and 2012. So if they want to update Web API as time goes along, they can release those changes as a new updated NuGet package. So you get the benefits of changes without having to upgrade to the next version of Visual Studio. Okay, what I'm going to do is create a new project for me. I'm going to go into the models. I'm going to go add a new class. I'm going to call this members. And add that. And I'm going to add in a new member class. Okay. So what this member class is just a plain object. It's got an extra attribute here just describing what its key is. But other than that, it's just normal fields. We've got an ID for the member ID. We've got some first name. We've got some last name. We've got some date of birth. And down the bottom, we've got some extra administration information, whether or not this person is an administrator, and when this information was created. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go create a data access layer. We're going to use Entity Framework to go create this database from scratch. I'm going to use this class as a template to go build a database table. I'm going to go add, and I'm going to create a new folder. I'm going to go del data access layer. And inside there, I'm going to create a new class. Add class. And I'm going to call this tickets context. And I'm going to go add. Take that template, and I'm going to replace that with the data context. And that's going to, I'm going to change that to be our model. So what this is going to has done, it's going to create a new entity framework data object. It's going to have a connection string of ticket inside my web.config file. And it's going to have a list of members. And inside that, when it creates the model, it's going to remove the tables. And rather than being members inside our database, we're going to call it member. So we just not remove the pluralization when you save it back to the database. The next class we're going to need to do is we need to be able to initialize this data. So I'm going to create another class. Add class. And I'm going to call it tick. Ed, and I call it init. Remove that class. Ticket data init. So what this is going to do, it's going to create a database in our, it's going to create a data in our SQL Server database, and there's a method in here called seed. So what this method is going to do, it's going to go fill in the base data. So when it creates this table, it's going to automatically go fill this table with some base data, so there's something in there. So that was the sample data I was playing with from the web API before. The last part we're going to need to do is we need to come down to our global ASAX, our first thing when we set up this web application. And we come down to the end. And I'm going to change this to register the database. So what that's going to do is it's going to use that ticket initialization class, and when the website starts up, you can create that database for us. The last thing we're going to need to do is going to need to come into our web.config file, in this case here, and I'm going to change the connection string to SQL Server. You could leave it in the default. You could go create a local DB database inside your application data folder if you wanted to, but I want to point this to SQL Server so we could look at it if we need to. So I'm going to change this to be Control-K-X, insert a snippet, and put my connection string in. And then go Control-Shift-B. Okay, the next thing we're going to do, now we've got a data model, we've got a database available to us. And what we're going to do now is we're going to add a new controller that's going to accept the request coming in for that data. So I'm going to come up into the controllers, and then go Add, New Controller. We're going to choose to be a members controller. We're going to choose a model class. We're going to choose that member class I just went and created. And we're going to choose the data context of TechEd context. And we're going to go add. So what this is going to do is going to take the standard default template to allow us to get the data out of the database and bring it back. So let's have a look at what it created for us. So if we scroll down, it's inheriting from this new thing called API controller. It went and gone and created a database context so that each time we make a request to this, it creates a new connection to the database. And then it's created methods in there for us. One to go create the members to get them out. Another one to go get a specific member by an ID. And the last few are there, there's put, post, and delete down the bottom. The other thing it's also done is if we go back up to our app start inside our web.config, it's added a registration. And this is where it's added our default routing. So those are the two parts I showed at the start. The controller it's created, and then the routing of how it actually gets to that name. So if I build this now, Control-Shift-B, build that, and we run it up. So I'm going to start an Internet Explorer. So this is going to create up an MVC template around it. So you should see a Welcome to Web API page. Under that, we've set up our routing so that all exists under the API subfolder. There's nothing in there at the moment. There's no metadata available out of the box. So that's one of the things that we're going to add on later. So when we get the OData service, it also gives the ability to see what's the information inside this. So at the moment, I have to go know that there's members. And if I spell it correctly, it goes in back, and inside Internet Explorer, it gives us back another file, which is the JSON encoded version of. So this is the experience that you get out of the box. So let's go add a little bit more to this to make it actually a more discoverable service, make it easier to work with. So if we go back to Visual Studio, so we'll come back out of that. And we'll come back to the controller. And we're going to bring up, in the tools, I'm going to bring up the NuGet Package Manager. And I'm going to go, I've added a macro for adding help. So what that's done is gone and get the package. There's a Microsoft data package, and what it's listed you see in the slide deck later on. And the other one I'm going to add is another one for OData. So I'm going to go add OData. So that's going to add support for OData. To make the OData go, we're going to need to add a bit more configuration so we can get our metadata working. So what we're going to do is we're going to come back to that Web API config, and we're going to add some more routes to it. So what the routing is so it will know how to find the extra data that the OData supports. So I'm going to open up and add the OData routes. So this, if we go through the syntax later on, gives you the ability to add extra functionality like the dollar sign. And I'm going to come back up to the configuration. And I'm going to go to the configuration, and I'm going to add it before the existing route. So I'm going to set up OData routes. I'm going to pass through the configuration that got passed to me. And what that's going to do is before the existing routes were there, it's going to add in all these extra OData routes, which is going to add the extra functionality for us. I'll rebuild that. And now I can run the project again. It's going to tell me I'm missing a namespace. And I'll resolve that to our model member and go Control-Shift-B and build that again. Now, the thing you'll notice this time when we run it up, we're going to get some more information because OData is going to give us extra metadata. And that metadata, what I was using in that first application, that drop-down list that I had with the IntelliSense, that was fed off the metadata that OData gave us. And we'll remove the breakpoint and go OK. Okay, still the same front page, but if I now go to API, it's now giving us an information about, from a computer point of view, it can look at this and parse this and work out what are the extra services inside there. Or if you're a human, you want to go understand this, we can go to the help pages. So the help pages are only going to work when it's inside IIS because it leverages the ASP.NET MVC framework to display this. But what it does is it gives us extra information about these controllers. So there's a, tells you that there's some metadata. There's a members controller. It has a get method, a put method, a delete method. We go into the get method. And now it tells you any of the documentation you put up, so the XML comments that you put in the top of your class can turn up there and turn up for, rather than documentation for get member, can be put in there. So somebody can come along and understand how you're going to interact with your service. It also gives us some more information about what are the formats this thing accepts. It accepts JSON, XML, and if you click on these, it'll go through and give you some examples of actually how to interact with it. So if you're used to a SOAP data service, it's pretty similar to that. If you go look at that help link, you get an example of how to customize this and use this as a process to actually document your API. And if you come back to the API, we now have the ability to go API, members, and I'm going to go pick the top. Sorry? Only if I spell it right. Excellent. For that, just do the chop. Where? Oh, my name's terrible. But thank you for fixing my spelling mistakes. Another one. Oh, you got it anyway. Oh. What are you going to take to get it? Okay, so there's the XML, and I can now come in here and put the top one. And I might even want to put equals one. And that'll just go grab the top one out of our database. Right. Now, next. What's the problem with this? Let's go have a look at this. Go back to my Explorer at the start and go have a look at this. And we're going to go back and we're going to go get the new URL that we exist on. Control C. Go back to my viewer. Paste in the new URL for the new service. Paste it in. And go API. Cool. Can anyone see any problems with that? Can anyone see any problems from the example one I showed at the start and this new version of the service here? Sorry? I'm just... Nullable types getting returned. Thank you. That's one thing. So there's more information here. Yes. What? So what is that?
It's application/JSON.
So no, it's yes. I'm accepting the type application JSON, but that's not the difference between what we got here and what it was before. Can anyone really see what difference? Yes, at the back. Yes, that's probably the big difference. The first thing we've done, we've gone to the data model and we've exposed everything out. Morrow, crunchy, which one? I can throw that far. You can come collect it later if you want to. Which one? Somebody can pass it back to you. Morrow or country? Morrow. Just pass it back if you can. And for starting the chain, you get one yourself. Fantastic. Right, so thank you. Yes, the big difference is here, we've exposed our whole data model out, which may or may not be the best thing, because I want to go, okay, I'm going to look at this first member here, and I'm going to go members two. Let's go have a look at him. Or Meredith, her. And, well, I think Meredith really should be an administrator, so I'm going to change that to be true. And I'm going to change that to be a put. I'm going to go. Okay, yeah, let's go have a look at get. Yep, she's an administrator now. Fantastic, we have now exposed our whole administrator out to anyone. So the first rule is when you connect to the templates, really go look at them. Don't look at exposing your whole domain model out to consumers because they'll start looking at this and going, ah, I can make this an administrator. Or I can say, when did I create this record? No, I created it last week. I'm sure I did my expense report last week. So first thing is, get rid of that. The other one is, as you said at the front, it doesn't have any security built into here. So I can then say, well, I want to hide the evidence of me changing this. And it's gone. I just did delete. And hopefully if I get it again now, it's going to give me a database error because it's an exception that's not handled by the client. So if I come back to database, go back to exceptions, and I don't want to get the unhandled exceptions, go OK on that, hit F5, continue. It goes 404 not found. So not only have we exposed our data out, we're allowing anyone to do as much as they want with the data. So let's improve this, make it a little bit better. So let's jump back to Visual Studio. So the first thing you're going to want to do is we need to add some security. So we're going to add in a new class here for, we'll stop the thing, it won't allow us to create a class while it's running. Application start, add controller. And we're going to, not a controller, a class. Nobody picked up that for any chocolate. Security resources. Add. And we're going to select all of this. And we're going to go TE. And we're going to replace that with security resources. So this is adding in a new type of thing called a filter. I mentioned filters at the start. This is a security exception filter. So what it's going to do is if any exceptions occur in the database or in the application, it's going to create a new response coming out. And it's only going to return the top-level exception message. It's not going to return all the gory innards of our stack trace or anything like that. This filter is going to take all that and just return the top-level message of unauthorized. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to add some configuration. So add a new class again. And we add in security config. Select the class, TE, and we add security config. So what this is doing is it's adding in the think texture security support. Now I haven't got any support in here for it at the moment, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to come to the package manager, and I'm going to add another one for security. This is just a shortcut for me to save myself typing in a large amount of text for the actual name. And I'm going to reload it. And so it's loaded that new package from NuGet, which is giving us the security support. And the last thing we need to do is come back into our configuration for our website. And after we've done the database initialization, we're going to add in the security config. So it's got our security config. And the last thing we want to do is we want to come back to our members controller, up in members. And we can come to the delete. And now we can go authorize. Control shift B. And if we now come back and we run that. So what that's done, the authorized flag, as I said at the start, could either be done at the control level, so that everything inside this controller needs to be authorized. Or you can put it down on a particular action and say only this particular action needs to be authorized. So if we come back to our application, we take off our security and now make a request for member number 3. And we get him. And then we go try to delete. And now it turns up with unauthorized. Right, that's pretty much the main things I wanted to go through in terms of the controllers. I can spend a bit more time going through showing you how you can cut the model down and so how you can get rid of those admin ones. But before I do that, would anyone like any further questions before I jump into that part there? Anyone itching for, yes. Yes. So the question is, do you have to go and say a dollar format to use JSON encoding? Yes. The answer is yes, you can add that on. So there is another thing I didn't show here, which is part of the filters,
where you can say, I want to do it by query string. So you can filter by query string and say that will automatically choose the encoding for JSON. The other example you can do is you can add an extension on the end. So by extension, you go .json or .xml. Do it that way. So there's another question here. Yes? So the question is, if you want to massage your data, what would you do? The best thing I would do if we go into the next part is I'd use a thing called AutoMapper, which allows you to map between the domain model and what goes out to the client, and then you can do some default mapping. So say, for example, your client doesn't want to put null dates, they want to put, which one, crunchy or crunchy? Ooh, risky. If you want to choose another format, you can actually put AutoMapper to change, sorry about that. You can choose AutoMapper, and you can, as part of that, look at the package called AutoMapper, and you can change how the data formats. It might come out as 1900:0101. There's a question right down the back there, yes? How do you stop the browser? The question is, how do you stop the... It's like any other request, basically. You'd have to do cache busting in terms of something different on the query string to stop from caching it. You can use the query parameter, or you could look at using e-tags. That's another example. So the normal ways you do with a normal web page apply to web API, and that's the beauty of actually using web API. Those standard things that you have are the same with web API. Or... Excellent. So crunchy or Morrow? Morrow, excellent. Go ahead. Oh, well, excellent. There's a question right down the back there. I'm sure I can make it that far. Yes. So the question is, how would you determine support different versions concurrently? There is a versioning plugin on, there's another package that you can add in. The one thing about Web API, it's because it's extensible with a handler. You can use a handler to come in and change the routing based on the version number in the URL and route it to a different version of a different controller. There's a versioning plugin built in that somebody's produced that does versioning for you. It's a good question. What would you like? Anything fine? Anything fine? It's totally nice and heavy. Oh, you're pretty close. It's going to be fine. Excellent. Any other questions? Yes. So the question is, can you customize your error responses? Yes, you can. You've got complete control of that response. That security filter I showed you was just an example. So you could say, if it's a type security exception, you could change exact text that comes back and say, you're not authorized to access this functionality. You could look at the request where it came from and say, you don't have access to delete an account. Please contact your administrator. So it's up to you to customize the response. I think you've got a chocolate already, haven't you?
No.
Okay. Yes. The question is, does it have a limit for the payload side? And the answer is, I think it does. I haven't hit one. I haven't done it, hit it as yet. But I'm thinking, having a look around, there was limits. There's normal HTTP limits that you can have in terms of sizes. That in your web.config, you're going to have just normal limits there. But I have to do. Further. So come back to me further if you want to ask that, but yeah, I don't know straight off on that one. Whatever. Actually, I'll let you choose. I'll be safer. Here we go. Yes. Down back there. I think the question is, there was lots of fields there, and is it the ability to shrink the fields? Is that your question? No? Yes. Yes. So the question, so can you just do an HTTP post with name value pairs? Is that your question? Yes. Yes, no, you can. You can definitely do a post. So if we come back into a post here, if we go pick a post and I go last name equals Bob, and if I go post, it returns an external exception error because there's no media formatter. So what we need to do is just change it to be forms, and we go go, and it goes and creates that. And if we go change that to be, that was record number 11, open up 11, we now change that back to JSON, and do go, and change it back to get. I'll just create another record, haven't I? There we go, there's record number 11, and it's got no last name. Not sure about that. Yeah, but yes, the answer is yes, you can do some name value pairs and just do a form post. So you could actually have one site do a post to another site, and if you enable support to go across domains, you can have one site posting to your web API service. You're a long way back. Yes. So the question is, can you do roles-based authentication? Yes, the identity model framework allows you to do role-based authentication, support roles. And on top of that, it also allows you to do claims-based authentication. So you can create another module that says, I'm Grant, I've got a purchase order limit of $200, and put that into my list of claims. And then when I come along into my class, I can say, what are the claims you've got, and what's my authorization limit? So you can actually do roles and actually do finer-grained claims-based authentication. You're a long way back. You can come back and collect one at the front. Yes? So the answer is, if you've got a relationship between resources, can you make a link? Yes, you can. Say, for example, if you've got a order and order lines, you can create a relationship inside your entity data model, and you can get a list. You can get a list that comes off that, which can have all your order lines off your order header. So you. It's URLs, yes. It doesn't actually do deep. You can actually go through in URLs to get it, but it doesn't allow querying to go deep searching. So you can't go, find me all the orders where the order line amount is greater than 50. So that's still not supported. But you can actually add that kind of support on. Yes? Can you do nested routes? Can you give an example of what you're looking for? So the question is, can you do nested routes? Yes, you could. It'd probably be a custom query. What you would actually probably have to do is, inside that queryable object, you can actually go take that off. There's an attribute you can add to the class for queryable, and you can go get the full query that comes through to you, and you can go parse that in a custom way. But out of the box, probably not, but yes, you can customize it. Right, okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go back to the Visual Studio side, come back out of Visual Studio, come back to PowerPoint, and Shift-F5. So in summary, what is Web API about? It's about simplicity. It's about getting your information out to the clients in an easy way, whether or not they're a JavaScript client, they're a C-sharp client, or they're a web client. It works across both .NET 4 or .NET 4.5. The only caveats you're going to have, just remembering the extra features you get with .NET 4.5 in terms of async and await keywords. What I'd say, it's an easy way of creating services. To get that content that matters out in a simple way, very easily. You can add on OData support to get you rich querying, which gives you more information about the data without having to add extra support inside your query. There's a whole lot of support, for example, like versioning support, or there's caching support that people are adding on inside the community. So go have a look at those. And overall, I think it's a community that's going to grow and people are going to really adopt, because like me, I found it really, really simple to use across a whole bunch of areas. In summary, Web API, know it, learn it, love it. It will help you with your job, and I think it's a great tool to use. Related content coming up. If you've got a security mindset, I'd suggest go have a look at some of the Hackhead sessions about designing for attack and the mobile security. I demonstrated some of those features in terms of the information you want and adding authorization, but I'm sure they'll go into more depth around designing security into your applications. You may want to look at it from a client side. You may want to take a PhoneGap application and look at consuming web API to go behind and use as a data service behind a mobile application. If you want to get hold of me, I'm available on Twitter, probably the easiest way to get hold of me. There's just general resources. And at this stage, really, I'd encourage you to fill out your evaluation forms. The speakers really value the feedback that people get. It helps the organizers of the event and helps the speakers actually get feedback of whether or not the sessions meet your needs and what you'd like to see further on. So web API, know it, learn it, love it. If there's any other questions, I'm happy to take them now. Otherwise, more than happy to have anyone come up and ask any questions up personally afterwards. So thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the session, and go use it.